started in here.
Go to and true. They are live now. There's no other show to take. You won't make a mistake. They'll be guiding you. Justice and Drew.
And 103.5 FM. Good morning and welcome to your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew. I am Drew. That man over there is John Justice.
Happy impeachment hearing day, everybody.
Is that today?
I don't know. I think they're doing that today. I don't care.
They are doing that today. And in fact, we're going to have Cassie Smidley.
Oh, I'm sorry. I do care.
The RNC Deputy Communications Director. She's going to be on the show today at 7:35, sort of your impeachment hearing preview segment.
Yeah. Well, it's like right now for me.
Sorry, I looked up at the TV and we got Fox News on and the Chyron reads, Bernie Sanders vows AOC will get key White House role if he wins. And I'm sorry for the instinctive guttural reaction.
it's not going to happen, but it's still kind of funny.
That's a nightmare. That is a nightmare scenario.
Can you imagine Secretary of State Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez?
Secretary of Energy.
Oh, I mean, I love things that make people upset, but that would make me too upset.
I puked in my mouth a little bit when I read that.
So the dumb joke that I was going to make a moment ago. No, it's all right. When having Cassie Smedley on today from the RNC to preview the impeachment inquiry, you know, it's kind of like me when I'm rewatching the Star Wars films leading up to the Rise of Skywalker. Like, I've seen them all before. I know what's coming, right? It's not real. But we're still going to get caught up before this whole ridiculous nonsense plays out later on today. I'm very interested to see how many people actually pay attention to these impeachment. And I think the Democrats are really simply banking on the fact that the majority of the public won't be paying attention and that people will just assume these are actual impeachment proceedings leading to a vote of impeachment. I think that's what they're banking on.
They're banking on a bit of that, but I think they're also banking on the idea that there's not that many undecided people when it comes to impeachment, I don't think. At least not people that are paying close attention.
Right.
Right? The undecideds are going to be the people that aren't really, you know, don't spend a good chunk of their day following politics, don't spend a good chunk of their day reading the news or watching the news. And they're only going to allow public testimony that advances their narrative.
Right. 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 Do you think it was a quid pro quo? Yes. Is that bad? Of course it is.
Yeah.
You know, is he orange? Absolutely.
Is he bad?
Yes.
Is he a man?
That's up. That's we don't know. That's why we have the hearing.
Also, he seems to identify that way.
Also on the show today, we are going to we'll take a little narrative journey. We'll start off with where we currently are in the Twin Cities when it comes to Minneapolis and St. Paul and our crime and our advancing laws. And then we'll play a little game of, oh, what's where are we heading in the future?
Right.
You know, based off of some things that we've seen coming out of San Francisco, which
Are there any other cities in America that have adopted these types of policies a while back and that we can look at and see how they've played out and possibly see how they'll play out here.
So it's where we are and then where we're heading, and it's not good either way.
Spoiler alert, there's a lot of poop.
A lot of it. And it's legal.
It's everywhere.
It's legal poop.
Yeah.
Should. No feces is illegal in San Francisco, is what we're saying. Also, Jesse Kelly will be joining us right around 8:35. First, we have other things to get to, though.
Sam has been scouring the internet.
That's right.
She has compiled the top five stories that you need to know to start your day, and we will deliver those to you next.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Justice and Drew, along with Sam, as we get ready to dive into Sam's top five for a Wednesday. Real quick, though, it's as if Google or Facebook or maybe Disney Plus was listening to me and my conversations through the television yesterday. Because I was just talking about how you don't hear about...
Probably were.
I know. But I was just talking about how, you know, we still have soap operas, right? And I was like, we still have soap operas, right? Because we were doing this the other day, and actually this is going to play into it. We were coming up with different soap opera names. So I was like, wow, you don't hear people talking about them anymore. And story today. Days of Our Lives, entire cast released from contract.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this was big news in my house.
Yeah, TV line has learned exclusively the producers of Days of Our Lives have released the entire cast from their contracts. Right, it's on indefinite hiatus at the month's end. So apparently the skinny on this is they have enough episodes because they shoot far enough in advance where they can actually air new episodes all the way through summer of next year.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So the speculation is like they're saying they're not gonna keep doing the show. They release the whole cast, and if another network or outlet were to go and pick them up, they could probably grab all the actors and then also probably get them really cheap because they'd be out of work.
Yeah. Well, even NBC. I mean, NBC could continue. They could decide
to bring them back.
They just want to keep the show and bring them all back at discounted rates as well.
Yeah. That's
The show's been on since like the early 70s. I mean, it's one of the
forever. That's crazy.
One of the longest running active.
This is the Susan Lucci one, right?
No.
Oh, that's not the Susan Lucci.
Susan Lucci was
One Life to Live?
One Life to Live or Guiding Light?
I forgot about Guiding Light.
But that one's not on anymore, the Susan Lucci one, to the best of my knowledge. I know a lot about Days because this is my wife's show.
Oh, she still watches it?
These are her stories.
So weird.
She's been watching this since she was a kid.
She's the one.
These are her stories.
She's been watching this since she was a kid, like with her grandmother and her mother. And she still watches it on a regular basis. You know, it's like once a week she goes and she sits down and says, I'm going to get caught up on Days.
That's cool.
I'm kind of sad.
I can respect
for her.
That. Yeah.
Sure.
Well, she has until next year. I'm sure. If it's still getting ratings and numbers.
I expected a much stronger reaction when I told her the news yesterday because I saw it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yesterday when we were hanging out. I was like, honey, come here. You're going to want to hear this.
You better be sitting down.
And I told her, and she was like, oh, okay. That's interesting. It's like, that was one of my shows?
Seriously, right?
What?
Especially one of your shows that you've been watching since you were a child.
Right, exactly.
Soap operas are so strange.
It's not good, though. It's so bad.
The soap operas?
Oh, well, I don't know. I only,
just in general.
I'm only familiar with Days of Our Lives.
Yeah. No, I'm not familiar with any of them. I mean, I've watched bits and pieces, but I don't think I've ever watched an entire episode unless I was, you know, at like a dentist office when I was a kid in the 80s or something, you know, waiting and it was on the screen. But they're all just weird.
Yeah,
they're all very strange. They're all shot very weird.
Yeah.
It's like a weird style. You're right. There's like a weird style where where you see the way that it's shot. There's something about like the angles and the lighting, and you're like,
that is, seems exclusive to soap operas.
Yeah.
Well, they call it the soap opera effect with all the ridiculous features that they have on the new smart TVs. Because the new smart TVs, when they have like the motion, when they have like the motion blur elimination and all that, the true real video creation, it creates that soap opera effect in a film. It looks horrible, but that's what all the directors were fighting out against. Real quick, speaking of soap operas, though, except this involves actual real people and real world consequences. From the Daily Mail, Ilhan Omar's married lover claims he never really loved his spouse.
Oh.
This guy seems like a real winner.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
this guy
yeah.
seems like a real winner. Like,
he's Ilhan aces.
Omar, man, you know how to pick him. Yeah. This is the guy that,
is that necessary?
His current wife that he's currently divorcing, Tim Minette, his wife, Beth. She's like 20 years older than him.
Yeah.
And paid his way through school, helped him start up this business. You know, I mean, he would be nothing without her. And then he makes a shocking declaration of love for Ilhan Omar. And then in his divorce proceedings, he's like, I never loved you anyway.
He says, 6 years of marriage were a roller coaster of highs and lows, he said in the papers filed in D.C. Superior Court. But while he listed plenty of lows, he failed to mention any highs. As the Omar turns. Our own little sad, pathetic soap opera of Tim Minette and Representative Ilhan Omar. Man, they're made for each other, and he's getting paid. So you know,
yeah.
What does he care?
Right. Yeah. Now he's got a lover and an income in one package.
It's yeah. Well, good for you, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck. We'll check back in like 3 years. We'll see how this was worked out.
3 weeks. All right, we will dive into Sam's top five, powered by Early Bird Electric, and next on Justice Now. Next hour, we're going to look at where we are currently here in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and in potentially, you know, greater Minnesota. And then we're going to take a look at where we are heading and look to other places in the country, and they'll give you a nice rosy picture of where our policies could lead us.
Yay.
Rosy is the
I'm trying to
choice of words that I would use.
But,
yeah.
We could use some roses.
Also, next hour, we're going to get a little impeachment hearing preview with Cassie Smedley from the RNC. Jesse Kelly's going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. But this segment is powered by our friends at Early Bird Electric, and it is the time of day when we bring you the top five stories you need to know, as curated by our very own Sam.
Number one.
You're welcome. Impeachment hearings are going live on TV with the first witnesses today.
Dun, dun, dun.
Bah, 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 bah.
Is it like sweeps week or something? Is that why they're timing it?
I don't know. We kind of have to watch, but I don't. This is such BS.
I'm going to watch.
It's such bogus theater.
Every time they've done one of these, their narratives have crumbled.
It's true.
They've just crumbled.
It's true.
So I'm very curious to see if they're aware of that. And
they're
do their best to prevent that from happening this time.
They won't. If they did, they wouldn't be doing this in the first place.
This is just theatrics. Nothing but theatrics.
There's no substance
that's
coming
going to
from
be happening
this.
Today.
No.
But I think it's going to be very fascinating theatrics.
Right, well, I'll decide between this and the third viewing of The Mandalorian.
I'll take the bullet for the team here. I'll
thanks, bro.
The closed doors of the Trump impeachment investigation are swinging wide open today. When the gavel strikes at the start of the House hearing this morning, America and the rest of the world is going to have a chance to see and hear for themselves for the first time about President Donald Trump's actions towards Ukraine and consider whether they are, in fact, impeachable offenses.
Well, you know, like with any opening, you know, with any Broadway show, right, any theater performance, you often don't want to go right out of the gate because they got to get used to being up there and their lines. And so we have been through this a couple of times now. So I don't know. This is like the third iteration of this ridiculous political theater.
Yeah.
So perhaps, you know, this will be the most compelling I'm not holding my breath after the Russia collusion nonsense.
And Kavanaugh.
I'm sure this is not exclusive to Care 11. I'm sure, like, you know, a lot of media outlets are framing it this way. But, you know, since we're using the Care 11 version for this one, this is, stop pretending that this is going to be some sort of fair, you know, if a fair hearing where both sides are going to have a chance, you know, to really state their case. And, you know, this is not, this is not, you know, when you frame it in such a way as America and the rest of the world will have a chance to see and hear for themselves. No, we're going to have a chance to see and hear what Adam Schiff wants us to see and hear. And that's it.
The next line in this Care 11 story is even more ridiculous because it says it's a remarkable moment, even for a White House full of them.
And you talk about the bias. I was just like, oh, my God. Gosh, man,
they can't help themselves.
No, they absolutely can't. We talked about it yesterday, sort of the different levels through addiction or dealing with an issue. You hit that addiction and then you go compulsion. It's just, it's compulsory now. It's orange man bad. They can't help themselves.
All on TV committee leaders are going to set the stage.
Adam Schiff is going to set the stage.
True. This is just as Care 11 wrote it. They went on to say, then comes the main feature. Two seasoned diplomats, William Taylor, the graying former infantry officer now in charge, in Ukraine, and George Kent, the deputy assistant secretary in Washington, telling the striking, if sometimes complicated, story of a president allegedly using foreign policy for personal and political gain ahead of the 2020 election.
What? That is written like a soap opera promo.
It is!
Yeah. The striking, this sometimes complicated story of two star-crossed lovers.
This could be like packaged up with the Days of Our Lives story we just did in the last segment.
They need a theme! Yeah, I hope they have some kind of theme, or, you know, Schiff comes out to lasers and smoke or something, just to spice this whole nonsense up. What a joke.
I lost my page. Sorry. Hang on. We're going to move on to number two here.
Number two.
Mark Sanford has suspended his GOP presidential primary challenge to Trump.
Who?
What?
That was my exact reaction.
All right, okay. You can.
Of course, we know who Mark Sanford is.
We do.
We've talked about this on the show.
Have we?
I don't
remember,
guys.
I don't remember. Was he a Republican?
He is dead to me.
He's the you lie.
Oh, he's the you lie guy.
Yeah.
He was running for president.
Oh, he's that guy.
Oh, come on. We've talked about this more than once on this show.
What show?
I can't be the only one that remembers.
What
show?
From the Associated Press. Mark Sanford did drop his challenge to President Donald Trump for the Republican presidential nomination yesterday, saying that the focus of impeachment has made it difficult for his campaign to gain traction.
Oh, that's the problem.
That's it.
Yeah, yep. Man, if it wasn't for all this impeachment stuff, man, I'd be skyrocketing. I'd be right up there.
It should be the other way around. Because the other way, there was a quote from him yesterday where he says, I don't know what it means to be a Republican anymore. And I heard that. And I saw Sanford say it, and I went, well, that's your problem. That's your problem. It's like, and people don't talk about it very often, but being a Republican, a conservative, it means different things for different people.
Of course it does.
And, you know, there's sort of a baseline. It's kind of like Christianity. You got a baseline, you know, there's God, and Jesus came down, cross, and all that. You got a baseline to work off of, but within that, there's a lot of variances. And so for him to go, I don't know what it means to be a Republican anymore, that's your problem. You be a Republican that you want to be, and if people want to support you as that type of Republican, they will, but stop acting like you're trying to figure out what the Republican Party means.
We're not like, you know, the left. We don't have to act as sort of a monolithic groupthink unit. And just because Donald Trump is the president of the United States, and if someone, you know, calls themselves a Republican, it doesn't mean that they have to agree 100% with Donald Trump 100% of the time.
It doesn't mean that you have to agree with Donald Trump. I'm sorry.
Number three.
Now we can move on.
Hillary Clinton says many, many, many people are urging her to run for president in 2020.
Yeah, people like named Sergey, Vladimir,
Yakov,
Alexis,
Smirnoff,
Stolichnaya. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just making Russian sounds.
Is it even an option anymore? I was kind of under the impression. I mean, can somebody still jump in?
Sure. Why not?
Why not? Well,
why not?
What are rules anyway?
I mean, we have the primary. You have the primary issues, and you have the issues that we talked about with Bloomberg. But it's Hillary Clinton. I mean, it doesn't matter.
That's true.
Yeah. So when she decides she wants to run, it's like the next day there's going to be a story about the entire 2020 Democratic field mysteriously committed suicide.
And Epstein didn't kill himself.
And Hillary Clinton's like, well, I guess I have to run now.
I suppose. I will save America.
I killed them all. I mean, they died.
How sad. From the Washington Post.
Just all on the same day. Tulsi Gabbard and Andrew Yang. And what? So bizarre. Yeah. Nobody can explain it.
So odd.
I didn't tell.
It is really stressful.
I didn't give the hitmen any specific details on when. I didn't think they'd all do it in the same day.
Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton did say...
And murderer.
Yeah, and murderer.
Alleged.
No. Murderer Hillary Clinton.
Oh, man.
Said on Tuesday that she is
fun.
Under pressure from many, many, many
alleged.
People. Does this story even matter?
No, it doesn't. No, it does.
Really does.
I mean, just it's just
she's such a liar.
There is a point in here though when she's
a liar.
When she's
wizard
asked,
lady over here.
When she's asked about whether or not she's actually not going to run, that's the part of it that I thought was funny. In the story, she specifically is asked sort of a yes or no on it, and her answer is funny.
Yeah, so this was in a radio interview yesterday. The 2016 Democratic presidential nominee was asked by host Emma Barnett about her future plans. Clinton replied that she wants to see President Donald Trump retired and is going to be, quote, helping our side try to put together the strongest possible campaign, which will be difficult. Barnett, to say the least.
She's so full of herself.
She's so full of herself.
Like, you can just hear, you know, it's going to be difficult because I'm not running.
Barnett, this host, asked, are you going to run again? And Clinton replied, no, I'm. And then the host kind of jumped in and said, is that 100%? So in a few days, I'm not going to open my newspaper and see that you're going to run. And Clinton said, well, you know, I'd never say never to anything.
She, what?
What a crazy person.
What?
After Barnett pointed out that there are...
I think if you asked Bill, he'd disagree with that.
Whoa! After Barnett pointed out that there are a few days left within which to file for the nominating contest in the states with the earliest deadlines, Clinton, technically I think she already missed Alabama, Clinton acknowledged that it's way past time, but she added that she thinks all the time about what kind of president she would have been.
I bet she does.
Of course she does.
I bet she does. She lives her life consumed with the shame of her failure, of her multiple failures to run for president.
Later on in the interview, the host asked again, pressed Clinton on whether she's ruling out a 2020 bid. And Clinton replied, well, look, I, as I say, never, never, never say never. And
but
I
you
will-
just did three times.
Can you, I hope that Bill, so Bill sees this, and next time he sees it, hey Hillary, you know, in that interview.
You know, about that whole never say never
you
thing.
Said you never say never to anything. So how's about...
I still got Monica on speed dial. I could set up some three-way fun if you want.
True.
What?
Hillary replies, I would do anything for love, but I just won't do that, just like meatloaf.
She said, she went on to say in this quote, this ridiculous quote, she's like, and I will certainly tell you I'm under enormous pressure from many, many, many people to think about it. But
liar.
As of this moment, sitting here in the studio talking to you, that is absolutely not in my plans.
I don't buy for a second that she's under enormous pressure from many, many, many people. She's probably got, you know, a little inner circle of people that follow her around and carry her bags and stuff that are just like part of their job description is to tell her what a great president she would have been.
She said in this interview, she was like, I think about how I would have been a better, more successful president.
But you said
such a psychopath.
You said never, never, never. Say never.
You said it three times there.
Three times. So I was just wondering.
You doing Bill Clinton kills me.
Number four.
Two more incumbent Minnesota legislators, DFL legislators, have announced retirements. Longtime state representative Gene, I don't know how to say this last name.
Wagonius?
Wagonius. Wagonius.
Wagonius.
Is it Wagonius?
I think so.
Representative Gene Wagonius.
Wagonius.
Representative Gene Waga don't care.
Oh, no, it's Wagonius. Yeah, Wagonius.
I don't think that's right.
Wayzada.
It's Wayzata. Representative Gene Wayzata.
Hillary.
And freshman representative Hunter Cantrell from Savage are the latest lawmakers to say that they're going to step aside in 2020.
It's a DFLer. I don't care.
Wagga, who cares, was first elected to the Minnesota House in 1986.
Wow.
She is currently serving her 17th two-year
what?
Term.
That's far too long.
17th two-year term.
Even for what genius.
What genius chairs the House Energy and Climate Finance and Policy Committee. Two other Democrats had already filed to run in her District 63B seat. She is from out of Minneapolis.
Yeah, this area of the state, because these are both they're not far. There's going to be some heated battles. Mm-hmm. That's going to be it's going to be a bloodbath.
Good. I hope they eat each other alive.
Well, no, they're retiring.
No, I know, not them, but like the people running for the seats.
So quick to jump on the violence.
Seriously.
Goodness gracious.
All right, one more item to get to in Sam's top five, and we will do that right after this. Stick around.